Welcome to the Heartland Worship Center podcast, an audio experience to help you grow in your relationship with God. Visit us at hwcagra.com for more great content.
Praise God. Well, I'm excited today. I'm excited every day about getting into the Word, but I'm excited today about getting into the Word of God because today is a introduction message, if you will, to a week-long process that I'm going to invite everybody in this room to be a part of, and that is the week of prayer. The Assemblies of God every year for the last several decades have asked the churches affiliated within the fellowship to mark the first full week of each new year as a week of prayer, as an opportunity to seek God, to pursue God for what the Lord would have for us in the year to come. And this week of prayer today is going to kick off this morning, and this morning's message will serve as the introduction to what I believe God is going to do throughout the rest of this week. The bulletin insert that you have with you right now will give you the prayer points that we are going to be looking at throughout the week and believing God for. For instance, this morning, and we'll get here in just a moment, we're going to be praying for our walk with the Lord. Monday, we're going to be praying for God to touch our families. Tuesday, for our communities. Wednesdays, for your workplace. Thursday, for rural and urban America. Friday, for our world. And Saturday, for our church. And I would ask that These inserts make it home. We'll be broadcasting on Facebook as well, the daily prayer points, and we will have a link or a video there as well to some materials that our national headquarters has put together to help guide us in our prayers for each and every day. But church, listen to me. I know we often say, and I've said it several times even this morning, that we believe God has great things in store. Right? We say that. And can I tell you, it's an easy statement to say from the pulpit, because I also know that we're going to have a response and agreement from the congregation. But can I tell you something? If we believe that, such a belief will move us to our knees before God as we pray for those things that we are believing for. Hello? As we pray for those things that we are believing for. We can broadcast and we can talk about and wish and desire for these things to happen. But friends, listen to me. If we desire to see God move in our personal relationship with Him, if we desire to see God move in our families, how many desire to see God move in your family this year? If we desire to see God move in our community, if we desire to see God move in our workplace, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm not supposed to talk about God at my workplace. That doesn't stop you from living out your faith and being a faithful testimony of Christ and His love and His goodness to the employees that share a desk with you or a cubicle or wherever life would take you. We're going to believe God to move in rural and urban America. We're going to believe God to move in our world. We're going to believe God to move in this church. But if we desire to see these things happen, we must position ourselves in prayer and begin to lift up our needs, begin to lift up these things to God and open ourselves to receive. This morning, we look at the topic dealing with our walk with God. And I have an intro message for us today, simply titled, Life with Us. Life with us. As we move into this week of prayer, I want us to believe. I want us to approach these daily prayer points with a high belief, expecting God to move. And I would hope that everyone today would make a point, would make a commitment to spending time in prayer this week for each and every one of these items. We know this morning that prayer is not complicated. Prayer is defined as communication with God. And because God is personal, listen to me, all people can offer prayers. And Christ is the key, as He has given His life so that we can be reconnected to the Father. And our restored relationship or our restored fellowship with God includes our ability to talk with Him on a daily basis. And I don't know about you, church, I'm glad to know God and to have a relationship with God, not only today, but every day of my life. And today's prayer focus and the topic of the message is to pray for our walk with God, our relationship with God. The prayer points, as you can see in the bulletin insert, is to pray for God's wisdom and guidance throughout this next coming year. Two, to pray that you would personally grow in your devotional walk with God. And three, pray for God's blessing on your life and household. This prayer focus is a focus of our hearts, a focus of our souls, a focus of our well-being. And as we begin this week of prayer, we do so by asking God to renew to us the joy of our salvation, to breathe within us new life into our relationship with God. How many know today, or how many would be willing to admit this morning, that sometimes we can find ourselves going through the motions, sometimes we can find ourselves in a position where our relationship with God isn't really thriving like it should be? Whatever it might be, distractions can come in our way and can move us to a position where we're not necessarily doing bad things, hello? Amen. But we're not taking that opportunity to be refueled for God to pour into us what we need daily. I've tried several years past to, as I would describe it, live or lead on empty. To just go off of my knowledge, go off of my abilities, to pour out, to pour out, to pour out without allowing God to pour in to me. And it led to a position of burnout and frustration. And it was interesting because before I had that aha moment with the Spirit of God, you know who I was blaming for my frustration and my burnout? Not God, everybody else. Well, if only this person would step up and do that. Well, if only this person would say the right things. Well, if only this person would stop complaining and And then I realized if only this person would take time to get back on his knees and let God pour into me instead of leading on empty, leading on the overflow of his Spirit coming into me. Hello? It radically changed the situation. And in that moment, I made a vow, I made a promise to myself, to God. God, I'd never want to find myself in that position again. I never want to be in a position where my flesh thinks it can do a better job than my faith. I wasn't doing anything wrong necessarily. But it wasn't God leading me in those moments. So make it sense. And that is why it's so important today that we take time to be renewed by the Spirit of God. Christianity, listen to me, it's not about going through the motions. It's not about religious activities. It's not about doing what we think that God approves of and staying away from things that God disapproves us about. Christianity is about being followers of Jesus, of being in relationship with Jesus. Now hear me, don't go away and say, hey, pastor said we can do whatever we want. No. Tom, sorry, man, just burst the bubble. No, listen to me. Our being in relationship with Christ ought to lead us to doing Christ-like things. But if you get that reversed, you're going to find yourself in a position of burnout, frustration, and complacency. Take my word for it. Been there, done that. Your doing God stuff cannot replace you being a follower of Jesus. Am I making sense today? You're going to be hearing a lot about this particular situation this next year, because I believe, just in observation, and not just here, but I'm talking about the church world as a whole, we're beginning to get that backwards. Well, as long as I go to church this week, and as long as I'm involved in a ministry, and as long as I'm listening to Christian music every once in a while on the radio in my car, I'm covered, I'm good. Listen, we've got a new form of... Oh man, okay, I'm going to go here. I didn't intend to go here, but I'm going to go here. We've got this new form, this surface level faith that's taking root in America today. And it scares me. Because we are selling ourselves short. We're making Christianity a convenience. We're making it something that we have in our little box of goodies. It's not a lifestyle. It frightens me that one of the major topics that you'll hear talked about in our Christian universities is how do we bridge what they call the sacred secular divide. To put it in terms that I understand, it is basically how do we get people who attend church on Sunday to live out their faith on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because what we're seeing in listen to me, this isn't in the world circles, this is in Christian circles. What we are seeing take hold in America is this idea that yes, church attendance on Sunday is still okay. We're still hovering at an okay level, but listen to me, church. We're not seeing that lived out throughout the week. We're not seeing that influence in our neighborhoods and in our streets and in our schools and in our, listen, even in our homes. And that should break our hearts. Why? Because God doesn't want to just transform you today. God wants to transform you every single day. And I want to grow. I want to be transformed. I want to see God move in me. I want God to continue to do what Carrie was talking about just a moment ago. He is the potter. I am the clay. Mold me, God. Shape me into the man of God you have called me to be. But only will happen when we decide, listen, my faith is the same today as it will be tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And it doesn't matter what situations, Jim, you were right on the money this morning. It doesn't matter what situations we face. God is there. And the key is we got to keep, that's terrible grammar. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what we face. Sorry, that just came out. That was that excited preacher. We've got to keep it, y'all. Are you hearing me today? Mason's laughing at me over there. I want to look at a story in Luke that reveals Jesus' desire to have a relationship with us. And I'm thankful that Jesus desires to have a relationship with us today. Now, I want to define who is us. Who is us? I realize we are us, but who is us? Before Christ, hear me, before Christ, us was a messed up group of sinners corrupted by the world and steered by our flesh. Before Christ, us, or at least I'll speak of me, was an unworthy, undeserving pack of disobedient individuals who had fallen short of the glory of God. Us was in trouble, big trouble, and we needed deliverance. We needed a Savior. And that Savior has come, and his name is Jesus. And he invites us, listen to me, he invites us to have a relationship with him despite our failings, despite our mess ups. This would be a great time or place for somebody to shout, hallelujah! Hallelujah. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet dabbling in sin, rejecting the one who had come to give his life, Christ died for us. Luke tells us the story of a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. He's very wealthy and very, we'll call him vertically challenged. A little on the short side. Donna, come on. Now, there are some situations in life where being short can have its advantages, but on this particular day, his lack in tallness placed him at a disadvantage. Jesus had come into town. Zacchaeus was excited, wanted to see him. The problem is a crowd had gathered of which Zacchaeus, he just simply couldn't see over their heads. Everyone else evidently had a height advantage over Zacchaeus, and so this short chief tax collector with his head hanging low walked home that day saddened that he didn't get to see Jesus. No, that's not how the story goes. Zacchaeus runs ahead of the crowd. and does what? Climbs up a sycamore tree along the path that Jesus was traveling, and he was not about to let the opportunity to see Jesus pass him by. Now, who was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, and my look at this passage is us. He's a sinner. He has fallen short of the glory of God. He is a chief tax collector, which means his wealth, hear me today, his wealth had been acquired through dishonest means. But there he was, despite his mistakes, wanting to see Jesus. But today isn't necessarily about what Zacchaeus did. Today is about what Jesus does. Today we're going to look at how Jesus responds to Zacchaeus and his desire to see him, for such will reveal an important truth to us today that Jesus desires to do life with us. In our story today, Luke chapter 19, if you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me. Luke chapter 19. We see Jesus' response to Zacchaeus in verses 5 and 6. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now I can only imagine that Jesus at this point is maybe got a little bit of a chuckle in his voice. He wasn't making fun. And this is my imagination going wild. Just bear with me, all right? He's not making fun of Zacchaeus, but there he sees this act of passion of this little guy who's climbed this tree just to see Jesus. I've always envisioned, this is terrible, I shouldn't admit this to you, but I've always envisioned Zacchaeus as a kind of Danny DeVito kind of build. Sorry. I don't know why that's always... Now it's in your head too. There you go. That's a freebie. But the remarkable thing about this story today, guys, is not the fact that this man had climbed a tree to see Jesus. Yes, this is a pretty cool act of faith and passion, but hear me today. There is something much more powerful to be discovered. The most remarkable part of this response is that Jesus knows Zacchaeus' name. He doesn't look at him and say, "Hey, you, in the tree." He looks at him and says, "Zacchaeus, come on down here." And Zacchaeus responds immediately and gladly welcomes Jesus. Jesus knows his name. And in this passage, we see Jesus invite Zacchaeus to do life with him. Who is Zacchaeus? He's a corrupt tax collector who has made his fortune by cheating others. Why would Jesus know his name? And we're going to see in verse 7 that this was problematic for those who witnessed all of this play out. All the people saw this and what? Began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." They can't wrap their heads around what they're watching. And I always find it a bit funny when people begin to mutter. I like that word. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm going to admit there have been times where I've been that person. Not proud of that. Not trying to be silly with that. Because one thing I've learned about muttering is that when I get done muttering, it's done nothing to fix the problem except make the divide even wider in my heart. Just a thought. But he's muttering. The crowd is muttering. It's a sign of misunderstanding in this situation. Jesus had, in fact, gone to be the guest of a sinner, as that was Jesus' mission in the first place, to seek and to save who? The lost. Us. But have you stopped to think about what that phrase means, to seek and to save, meant to restore a relationship with those where sin had created a separation? Your walk with God this morning, church, listen to me, is so much more than doing what you feel like the Bible says you are supposed to do. In fact, in my personal opinion, that is never what God intended for it to be. Listen to me, God desires for you to choose to be in relationship with Him. And what will that spark? What will that spawn in your life? That will spawn a new lifestyle that will pursue Christ. Hello? That will reflect the love and commands of Jesus as we choose to follow Him with every fiber of our being. Are you hearing me today? Our doing Christ-like behaviors, attitudes, actions, ministries, and so forth is in response to who we are first in Jesus. And Jesus in this moment knew the name of Zacchaeus. And I want you to understand something today as well. He knows your name. And is calling out to you today. What is He calling to you? What is He saying to you? He's saying to you exactly what He called Zacchaeus to do. Jesus invited Himself into Zacchaeus' life. The Son of God wanted to get into Zacchaeus' world to do life with him. And we see Zacchaeus' response. He gladly accepts the Lord's invitation and invites Jesus into his world. And a relationship begins as Jesus is invited in. Amen. Now, following Jesus, listen to me again. Just bear with me for a moment. It's not just about joining a church or getting your name on a church roster. Following Jesus is about accepting His invitation to come into your life and to do life with you. If your relationship with God starts at 10:50 and ends at 12 o'clock, well, okay, 12:15 most days, then Houston, we have a problem. This is a beautiful part of our walk with Christ. Come on. Amen. This is something that I absolutely love to be a part of. Why? Because I love to have fellowship with the people of God. I love to talk to folks. I love to pray with folks. I love to have folks pray for me. It's community. It's doing life together. But what is it that holds all of this together? Our relationship with Jesus. And so I pray that what we experience here in that hour and 15 minute time duration or whatever, however long the preacher decides to preach that day, whatever the case might be, that we take that and we live that out every single moment of our day. It's a relationship with Christ. Why do life with Jesus? He wants to help you discover your purpose. The world, listen to me, the world would try to call you an accident. The world would try to tell you, and I'm not trying to be grotesque in this, but I just think it's funny the way they try to sell evolution as a fact nowadays. The world would try to tell you you are nothing but the product of a ball of snot who grew legs and walked out on the beach and became a person. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? The world would like to call you an accident. You're nothing but happenstance, no? That's not what the Bible has to say. And you know what's funny to me is that there are a lot of people out in the scientific field who have signed the petition, who have said, you know what, after looking at all of the evidence, not only on earth, but in the universe, there is no way this happened by accident. Amen. And you know, the sad thing is a lot of those scientists and researchers, Christian and non-Christian, have been blacklisted by the scientific community for their stance in saying there is intelligent design in this world. They may not know His name. We know His name. Amen. His name is God. Amen. Who said, let there be light. Boom. Who created all of this that we see, live in, and enjoy every single day. Read the Genesis account. Don't let this world try to tell you you're an accident. That is a lie from the enemy, because if he can discredit God's value and purpose in your life, you will be lost. You will be depressed. God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And God will resource you in making that purpose become a reality. But friends, if we concede and give into this worldly thought, listen, that's all the enemy needs. Come on. That's all the enemy needs to try to convince you. That you're just floating on through life. God desires to do life with you. Jesus calls you today with purpose. Secondly, he wants you to know and to live in the strength that he provides when you are weak. The world will never, the world would leave you to fend for yourself. Jesus has come to give us new life, new hope, and new strength. Thirdly, he wants to set you free. His life was given so that the shackles of sin could be broken. We no longer live as slaves to sin, hallelujah, but have been saved by the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross. He knows you. He calls to you. He desires to do life with you. Do you know him? Have you accepted him? What will you invite Jesus to do life with you? And in this passage today, we also see something remarkable takes place. We see a transformative situation before us. I want to be clear in what it means to do life with Jesus. I want to be clear in telling you today that what you can expect, listen to me, what you can expect is a transformative experience in the Lord. The very thing that happens with Zacchaeus as he invited Jesus to come into his world. Look at this with me again. We're going to look at verse 8 in just a moment. After inviting Jesus into his world, Zacchaeus changed his walk. He changed his talk. He no longer walked the way of a corrupt chief tax collector. He was a changed man. Verse 8 shows us this change as he says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." He's had an encounter with Jesus, and he's turning his life around. And Jesus himself recognizes the transformation and speaks directly to it. In verse 9, he says, "Today, look at these words, salvation has come to this house." Now, I want to clarify again, has salvation come to his house because Zacchaeus declared that he's going to pay everything back? Or has salvation come to this house because Zacchaeus has received Jesus, he has transformed his life, and it is now being lived out in his outward actions? Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Look at verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This meeting was not merely a moment of fellowship or socializing. Jesus had encountered Zacchaeus, or had entered Zacchaeus's life and proclaimed that salvation had come. You see, this is this morning. When Christ moves in, corruption moves out. When Christ comes in, a person's world and being are changed. When Christ comes in, listen to me, your walk becomes a new walk. Your talk becomes a new talk. Why? Because a relationship with Christ will transform who you are. I like how 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, I refer to this verse quite often. But I like how it says this. It says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I like that word, behold. Calling attention to the change. Behold, the new has come. And that is what we are praying for today with this week of prayer, beginning today with your walk with God. We're praying for a walk in the newness and fullness of Christ. If I could have help on the piano this morning as we get ready to close, we're going to move to a time of prayer here in just a moment. But I want you to understand that Christ desires to continue to transform his followers as they draw closer to him. Zacchaeus' life, it was radically changed, radically renewed as Jesus became a part of his world. And a relationship with Jesus should not be minimalized to simply praying a prayer and just going through motions. No, church, listen to me. A relationship with Jesus means we live in fellowship with the one who gave his life for us. And this fellowship, this desire to draw closer to him, is exactly what we are praying for today. Again, we pray for God's wisdom and guidance in this coming year. This is a choice to go the Lord's way. A prayer for wisdom is the exchange of our limited understanding for his unlimited knowledge. I don't know everything, but I know somebody who does. Amen. I don't have all the answers, but I know the one who is the answer. Come on. I found myself at crossroads in life, facing obstacles, not knowing which way to go. And no, the GPS on your phone ain't gonna help you in these situations either. But I can tell you in those moments when I have called on his name and said, God, give me wisdom. It's been there. Secondly, we pray that we would personally grow in our devotional walk with God. This is a choice. This is a prayer acknowledging our choice to grow in the Lord, which also means we acknowledge that we have room for growth. I think one of the most dangerous positions a Christian can find themselves is in the position of thinking that we have arrived. How many know what I mean? That we've got it all figured out. Can I caution us with that? As long as you have breath in your lungs, you have room to grow. As long as I'm going to personalize it. This pastor has a lot of growing to do in the Lord. And I welcome that growth. It's not always easy, right? When we pray for patience, Jim's already laughing. Donna's saying no. Scott's like, I don't need to pray for patience, baby. I got that on cover. No, listen to me. When we pray for patience, is God gonna just all of a sudden pour out more patience, or is he going to put before you a situation, a trial, where you're going to have to exercise that patience? He may do a little bit of both. Hello? But I've often cautioned people with such prayers. Be careful what you pray for, because God's going to give it. God answers prayer. Hello? Sometimes it may be in avenues that we weren't expecting, but can I tell you, sometimes those are the most amazing, I always call them the aha moments, the moments when that light bulb goes off. You're like, I get it. I get it this time, God. Man, I wish I would have got this 20 years ago, but man, yes. Yes. It's a journey. It's a relationship. Oh, it gives me goosebumps to think about it this morning. An opportunity to walk with the one who was nailed to the cross, who knows your name. Lastly, we're going to pray for God's blessing on your life and your household. I want to see a show of hands this morning. How many desire for God to bless your home, your household this year? Come on. Let's move that to more than a desire today. And let's get on our knees. Students, listen to me. This isn't just for moms and dads. This is for you guys. You pray for your mom. You pray for your dad. You pray for your guardian. I don't know what kind of situations you might find yourself in, but listen, if you've got God, you've got all you need, and you can be a light to your home. Oh boy, I'm getting in youth pastor mode. It starts when your mama tells you to clean your room. I'm serious. My son's like, Dad, don't go there. Yeah, you know why? Because listen to me. When you honor God in that way, when you honor your mom, you're honoring your God. You say, okay, I'll get after it. those simple steps where we realize, you know what? Everything I say, I want it to bring glory and honor to Jesus, to the one I'm doing life with, to the one who I've invited in. If we could, this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I said this a moment ago, but I want us to understand that as followers of Christ, we may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds our future. And we talked about 2019 briefly last week, being full of ups and downs, and no matter what is ahead of us though, church, we know that Jesus is there with us as long as we choose to invite him in. And I want us to understand that today Christ is calling to you. We are here today to experience more of Jesus. We have gathered here today to see Jesus just as Zacchaeus climbed that tree. At least I hope you did. I hope that when you came to this facility this morning, or when you logged in online, wherever you are this morning, that you came here expecting to see Jesus. You realize today that he knows you. He knows your name. He desires to do life with you. And so here's the question. Will you choose to do life with him? Will you accept his invitation? Jesus wants to come into your world, into your life. Will you open your heart? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around here today, you say, Pastor, my relationship with Christ is not where it needs to be. For whatever the reason is, maybe it's a situation like what I described to you just a moment ago, a burnout of trying to lead on empty, trying to do things my way. Maybe it's a situation where sin has entered in, and today, man, it's time to deal with this. It's time to repent of this stuff and to remove the obstacles that would be in the way of your relationship with Christ. Whatever the case might be, today you'd say, you know what? I'm inviting him in. I want to do life with Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sins. He knows my name. I want to know his love. If that's you today, just very quickly, if you would raise your hand right where you're at so I can see you. Amen. Anybody else today? Amen. Amen. Anybody else today? Amen. And in this moment, can we pray together? If you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with all your heart. It took a lot of effort for Zacchaeus to climb that old sycamore tree to get where he could see Jesus. This is your moment. I want you to pray this with all your heart. It's between you and God. And church, I want you to pray with us again as we come together as the body of Christ in encouragement of those who raised their hand this morning. Say, Dear Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know my relationship isn't where it needs to be. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I hear you calling and I will answer. I give you everything and ask Jesus that you would help me to never return to that old life of sin. For today, the new has come. I've been reborn. I've been forgiven through the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for saving me and for coming into my life. I'm doing life with you from this day forward. Guide me and direct me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Today, salvation has come. Come on. Today, salvation has come. Today, hearts have been set free. And for that, church, I think that it deserves a rousing applause of praise for our Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Walk with God. pray for his wisdom. We pray for growth. We pray for blessing on our life and household. If you'll join me in that prayer, I'm going to ask us to do something a little bit different this morning. If you'll join me in that prayer, will you join me in these altars? If you'll join me for that prayer, will you join me in these altars? Why am I having us move today? Because listen, I want us to not view this week of prayer as just another going. I want this to be something that we move, that moves us, that causes us to get out of our norm and causes us to grow. Pray for wisdom. Pray for our household. Pray for growth. And as we are in these altars, what is the altar? It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of submission. It is the place where we come and give it all to Jesus. And so what I want us to do on those three prayer points, before we do that, I want us to just pour our heart to God. I want us to raise our hands. It's a universal sign of surrender. And say, God, it's yours. I give it all. My life, everything today. And as we stand in these altars, the first thing I want us to first thank God for our salvation, for that relationship that we have. Come on, church, you vocalize this. You talk to God right now. You are communicating with God. That's all it is. I want you to talk. You to talk. You to speak it out. Father, thank you for setting me free, for coming into my world. I was messed up. I was disrespectful. I rejected you, but God, you never rejected me. You've been there for me time and time again. You set me free. You set me free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for our salvation. Thank you, God, for what you have done, for who you are today, for that opportunity to know you, to be able to call on your name. Now I want us to move, begin to pray for wisdom, begin to pray for growth, and begin to pray for blessing upon your household. Come on. Pray for wisdom, pray for growth, pray for blessing on your life and household in Jesus' name. God, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom, Lord, as we navigate this world, as we navigate this next year. God, that you would guide us and that you would direct us in every step we take. And Lord, that we would rely upon your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to your word, to guide us. Father, we place our full trust in you today. Give us that wisdom we need every single day. Not just in moments where things are getting intense or where things are getting tough, but God, every day, guide us and direct us. Lord, help us to grow this next year. Stretch us, Father. Mold us, Father, into the men and women of God that you are calling us to be. Lord, that we would glorify you with our words, that we would glorify you with our behaviors and our attitudes, that we wouldn't be on the muttering side of this thing, that we wouldn't be complacent, but God, instead we would find ourselves seeking you, pursuing you, God, giving you everything that we've got. Grow us, Lord. Shape us, God. Mold us, Father, as we respond to your presence and love. And God, I pray for every single household, for every single life in these altars and in this room, watching off that camera. I pray for blessing. Oh God, I pray that you would pour out your love and your presence and power upon these souls, upon our households. God, that we would see revival break out in our neighborhoods because of what you are doing in our families, that we would see brokenness erased. God, that we would see families reconciled, that we would see bitterness done away with, and that we would see forgiveness reign. God, bring the revival, Lord, to the heartland. But God, start with us right now. Pour out your blessing, God, on our lives. Pour out your blessing on our households, on our children, God, on our grandchildren, Lord, on our nieces, on our nephews, on our cousins. God, pour out your blessing today. Pour out your blessing today. Because we want to do life with you. Thank you, God. you, God, for doing life with me. And seeing beyond my sin and my brokenness. And making me whole through the blood of your Son, Jesus. We're believing for great things this next year. But we take that belief to prayer. We're going to lift up, God, our communities, our homes, our workplaces this next week. And we're going to believe for a mighty move of your Spirit in these areas. Now, God, again, bless this church. Bless these hearts. Bless these souls. Bless these minds. Continue to pour out your power upon each and every one of us. Your Spirit upon each and every one of us. And as we get ready to dismiss, as we get ready to walk through those doors, God, I pray that we would take what we have experienced here and we will live it out throughout the course of this week. You chose us. We now choose you. And we thank you, God, for the transformation that we've experienced in your presence. Bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. God is good. Let's go do life with him. Amen. Let's go do life with him. 6 o'clock tonight, Sunday night church. Do not miss out. We're continuing in our study of the book of James. It's been a great journey thus far. We hope to see you there. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon in the Lord.